able to do another couple revealing the truths this last Sunday, and that seems to be the pattern for Elder John and I. We come in and we do this, but we're glad to do it, and we each time we think about what we're going to be speaking about and how to present it. One of the messages that was given was about legalism, about how that is viewed today by many and how actually the Bible defines it. So today I'd like to talk to you about law and legalism, because I think there's some confusion out there. And one of the points that we wanted to bring across is that if the listener can understand the idea of what legalism truly is, biblically speaking, and what others are actually saying but isn't true, it will actually open up the door to be able to see what's happening in most religious circles today and to see what the Word actually is saying to us. Because Yahweh doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the same is said about the Savior. And interestingly enough, of course, the Savior didn't do his own will. He did that of the Father's. Now, we didn't make the following point in the revealing the truth, but we will here. What would this world be like under the individual governments, and by the very word indicates rules set forth by governing authorities, if there was no instruction or guidance by ways of laws? Again, what would this world be like under the individual governments if there was no instruction or guidance by ways of laws? Let's think about that for a minute. We decide what's good for us. There's no one telling us what to do. There is no structure of ordinances or laws, no courts, no legal system. It's just every man for himself. What would that be like? No consequences, because no one has set a standard of right and wrong. Without rules, written or otherwise, we would be no better off than animals doing everything by instinct, basically. Do you know that Yahshua was governed? John 5:30. You turn there, chapter 5 of John, verse 30. Yahshua is telling us something here which we need to remember. He says of himself, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. In Ezekiel 36, back in the Old Testament, gives us some insight in what we are finding today. Ezekiel 36, verse 26 through 27. This is prophesied. This is taking place today as we speak and are here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you. The same spirit that was in Yahshua. Why? What's that spirit for? What does it do? Here Yahweh says he will cause us, you, me, us, to walk in his statutes. He says, these are my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now how silly is it to think that somehow today we get a different spirit? A spirit that says we don't have to walk according to Yahweh's will. That's just ludicrous. So somehow it gives us license to be lawbreakers of that old Mosaic law. You don't have to turn there, but 1 John 5:3 and surrounding scriptures basically in context says, for this is the love of Elohim, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But yet I heard a minister today say, oh, those Ten Commandments, you can't keep them. Really? That's ridiculous. It's ludicrous. That's utter blindness. And it's a lie. And we'll see in Scripture that it says just that. There's four areas of thought that I'd like to cover today. First, that early in the 3rd and 4th centuries basically set the tone for anti-Semitism and the removal of anything Jewish. What would that include? Sabbath, Passover, laws, feast days, anything Jewish. And today, when we tell people that we're going to go keep the Feast of Tabernacles, or go and keep the Sabbath, they say, oh, are you a Jew? It's the first thing that comes in their mind. There's been 2,000 years, roughly, of ideas that have been set forth. Men teaching things that they shouldn't be teaching. Anyway, that's one area that I'd like to cover. Another area of thought that I'd like to cover is that legalism has come to mean anyone trying to save themselves by works rather than by grace. And three, the accumulation of these two items, anti-Semitism and legalism by works, not by grace, teaching, has driven people to explain away certain scriptures or passages of scripture, taking them out of context and distorting the intended meaning. And number four, the thought I'd like to cover is the law, Yahweh's law, that is, was kept in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it will be kept in the coming kingdom. There's no question about it when we see a number of scriptures backing these up. Early 3rd and 4th century set the tone for anti-Semitism and the removal of anything Jewish. I'd like to read you something from The History of the Christian Church by Chaff and Chaff. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. But these are man-made rules written in history. They're in our history books. They're for all to see. Research gives us some idea of what's been happening. It says, in the course of the 3rd century, the Roman practice gained ground everywhere in the East. And to anticipate the result, was established by the Council of Nicaea in 325, the Common Era, as the law of the whole church. This council considered it unbecoming in Christians to follow the usage of the unbelieving, hostile Jews and ordained that Easter should always be celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon succeeding the vernal equinox, March 21st, and always after the Jewish Passover. If a full moon occurs on a Sunday, Easter Day is a Sunday after. By this arrangement, Easter may take place as early as March 22nd or as late as April 25th. So what do we see in here? We see four things. One, anti-Semitism. Two, man-made calendar rules. Three, false days of worship implemented with disregard to Yahweh's Passover, which is found in Leviticus 23 and verse 5. Number four, it shows the unscriptural power and influence of a religious organization, basically man's rules. But even before this, during the 1st and 2nd centuries, there were troubles for both the Jews and believers by rulers like Nero, Vespasianus, Hadrian, and Constantius. These are four rulers that were causing problems for believers. But today there is still anti-Semitism and trouble by others who claim to be followers of the Savior. It's like trouble within. Legalism, second point here, legalism has come to mean anyone trying to save themselves by works rather than by grace. If you would, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. We read this in the scripture reading today, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Talks about running a race, about winning the race. We actually haven't won at this point. We just haven't. We're to overcome to the end. Then there's a reward. Then there's a prize. Then there's truly redemption. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached others, I myself will not be disqualified. There are those teaching, that we're forgiven. Sins now, past, future. We can live our lives basically just having faith. Paul didn't understand this type of teaching. Paul said that he thought he could possibly be disqualified. It's important to understand that we can be disqualified. John 5, verse 9 through 10. John chapter 5, 9 through 10. Tells us, and immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Where is that in Scripture? That's not found in Scripture. Where is it found? You know it's found in the Talmud, oral teachings. The Companion Bible by E.W. Bullinger says, the rabbis made the carrying of anything from a public place into a private place or vice versa unlawful. The law from the first century is in the Talmud as law. And Dr. Bullinger actually gives the reference work and also the area in which it can be found. Matthew 15, just going through some of these things, we'll begin to understand what biblical legalism is. There's the thought of legalism that, we're just trying to save ourselves by keeping the law. That's the one area of thought. But the biblical definition of legalism is different. The biblical definition of legalism is adding their own laws to Yahweh's laws, even making none effect of Yahweh's law. Matthew 15, starting in verse 1, then came to Yahshua scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of Elohim by your tradition? Why do you break my father's commandments? Tell me. He was upset with them. Called them a brood of vipers, snakes. How will they ever escape the lake of fire, is basically what he told them. Why? Legalism. True biblical legalism. And this legalism is the type of legalism that will harm you. It will kill you. It will lead to death. It does lead to death. When we cover up Yahweh's laws, when we distort, when we mess with His instructions, when we add to, when we take away, doesn't the book of Revelation give the indication that we could be actually blotted out of the book of life? There are consequences for breaking and changing and adding to and taking away. And the warnings are there for us in Scripture. If a person can understand this, it just opens up the doors to understanding more of Scripture. And it helps us to understand, and it will help you to understand what's happening in Christianity. Not all, but most. Because there are those that are trying to keep the law the best they can, and they recognize that they have a need for the Savior sacrifice in their lives. But do you know that today's so-called legalism, how it is defined, is a false accusation against us? Romans, you don't have to turn there, Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Elohim is eternal life through Yahshua, Messiah, our Master. Okay, says the wages of sin are death. Why would we want to do sin? It leads to death. We have the Messiah. We have a high priest. We are able to go to this high priest. We're given the opportunity to have our sins washed away at baptism and have the hands laid upon us by the eldership so that we can receive Yahweh's Spirit. And then we are to walk in Yahweh's Spirit, and we are to walk in the instructions, the truth of Yahweh's Word that we find. And it's a growing process. And I think just as a baby, you know, crawls initially and then starts to walk and will trip, you know, it's a process. And you don't always see the growth initially, right away. But over time you will, if you keep at it, if you overcome and are faithful. Yahweh's Spirit is going to help. It's prophesied. It's given in Yahweh's word that we will receive help. And we do need help because we are a physical people still. Acts chapter 20, let's turn there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, starting there. We'll read through verse 30. But Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 28. Luke says, be on guard. You know, look out. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the assembly of Yahweh, which he purchased with his own blood. So there's a process. But Luke says, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Is it perverse to say that the law was done away with? That's a crime. It's a kind of crime that could be fitting right in with the Pharisees, because it's deleting Yahweh's law. It's deleting the Father's instructions. And whether you do it by adding laws, or you just take away, you do these things, then you have to remember the words that Yahshua gave the Pharisees. You brood of vipers. What are you doing? So we need to understand that we need to have the instructions of the Father. And we also have to have the faith in Yahshua the Messiah, having the grace that's given. Even the Apostle Paul in Romans 6:1, you have to turn there, it's just short, but he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? He answered his own question by saying, may it never be. Why did he say never? Is it because he knew that the law is forever? And so it's never going to be really put away, done away with. And I think such a thought to Paul would have been absolutely perverted in his mind and against Yahweh's will for us. You know, remember going back to Yahshua, who did his Father's will, and then we're instructed to follow in the Master's footsteps. The accumulation of these two items, anti-Semitism and legalism by works and not by grace teaching, has driven people to explain away certain passages of Scripture, taking them out of context and distorting the intended meaning. Now, we won't be able to cover all of these. In fact, I'm just going to mention these many studies. This one, days, months, times, years, I look at Galatians 4. Colossians 2 and the law is another one. Romans 14 is another one. These and others are looked upon. And, it's interesting. I think these are all Paul's writings. Doesn't Peter talk about Paul's writings being hard to understand and that there are those that will distort them and change them so that they can be unlawful? they would be lawless, is basically what Peter says. And speaking of false teachers, and there are false teachers. Now, this one individual that I heard, in fact, I went on to a video website and just typed in legalism to see what people are saying. And it's just astonishing. Some recognize that legalism is defined in Scripture as, you know, adding to Yahweh's law, taking away, covering it up, kind of the same thing that's happened with Yahweh's name. But there are those that, like with the majority of Christianity, they teach that, oh, yeah, you're trying to earn your salvation. You just need to believe in the Messiah. You don't need all those works. And this one individual minister, he's a television, has a television ministry. Anyway, I like listening to him, actually, because he's a good speaker. But when he was talking about legalism and saying that, you know, you can't keep all the Ten Commandments, I realized he didn't go to the Scriptures. He didn't say anything. He didn't refer to any Scriptures. They're just ideas that he came up with, interpretations in his own mind, looking at Paul's writings, distorting them, and then teaching the distortion to other people. And this has been going on for hundreds, thousands, well, almost thousands of years. Over 1,000 years for sure. Revelation 14:12, we should know this by heart. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Elohim and the faith in Yahshua. It's just a distortion out there, a distortion of beliefs that aren't in line with Scripture. And it's so prevalent that people put up a wall as soon as they think that something you're doing is Jewish or that something you're doing is has the law in it. They don't want to hear it. They automatically have these ideas that have been implanted into their minds, and those things have come into their heart to the point where they are hard to reach. But if they can start to understand what true legalism is, as defined by the Bible, and the distortion of what is being taught today as far as the idea of legalism and, you know, not accepting of grace. We accept grace. But as Paul said, you can't, you know, don't think to continue sinning so that grace may abound. That's not the way it works. And Paul, you know, of course, is, I think, you know, wanting to make sure he's understood. But yet people still take what he says out of context. So I encourage you to review these studies. Days, months, times, years is one. Colossians 2 in the law is another. Romans 14 is another. Now let's go back to the earliest commandments. We know that the law was kept in the Old Testament, and it is kept in the New Testament, or was kept in the New Testament, and will be kept in the coming kingdom. Genesis 26, verses 4 through 5. Genesis 26, 4 through 5. It says, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and I will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all nations of earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, and my statutes, and my laws. That almost sounds conditional, doesn't it? Or because, you know, because he did this, then the blessing comes, you know. Well, that nothing has really changed in the New Testament. Do you remember what Acts 5 and verse 32 says? Let me write this down. I'll go there real quick. You don't have to turn there, but Acts 5 and verse 32. It says, and we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit whom Yahweh has given to those who obey Him. Has anything changed? Yahweh is the same today as He was yesterday, as He will be tomorrow. You know, Genesis 18, 19 goes back even further as far as commandment keeping in the Old Testament. Genesis 18, 19. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him. Command them what? Command what to children? And why would you want to teach children? So those children will teach their children and so on and so forth. For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of Yahweh by doing righteousness and justice so that Yahweh may bring up Abraham what he has spoken about him. The way of Yahweh. It's his law. It's his instructions. Today we find grace in his son. Doesn't negate the other. Let's go back even further. Yahweh commanded Adam and Eve, saying, thou shalt not. Boy, people, you tell people, you shall not, and they go, ooh, don't judge me, you know? That's the attitude. Genesis 3, starting in verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field which Yahweh Elohim had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has Yahweh said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Come on. Has he really said that? And you hear this type of message even being preached today. Oh, come on. He doesn't expect us to keep these laws today that you can't keep. They're Mosaic. They're old. They're Moses' laws. That was for them. There's a new dispensation. There's all these reasons why we don't have to do anything except believe. Believe in your heart. It's a shame. Indeed, has Yahweh said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? He's putting in doubt. Verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, Elohim has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. Sounds stern. But we find in Scripture, even the Old Testament is quoted, you sin, you shall die. Stop sinning. What was the message that Yahshua preached? What was the message that John the Baptist preached? What were the disciples told to preach? Repent. Repent, for the coming kingdom is indeed coming. Repent from what? From former ways. Former ways that are contrary to Yahweh's ways. Verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. You surely won't die. And people are saying today, we're going to go to heaven. We won't die. We're going to live. Nothing can separate us. Well, I think Paul said it clearly, you know, we're to run the race, to win the race. Otherwise we'll be, or at least that's the impression that he gave, that he himself could be disqualified. Taken out, written out, blotted out of the book of life. It's a serious thing. Maybe it's too serious. You think that's our problem? Maybe we're too serious. And people hear us and they go, wow, they're serious. I want to be happy and joyful. I want to go where they dance and they have lots of songs and the preacher gets up there and walks around and gives us a bit of a play. And so we're entertained and our ears are tickled and we can hear and do and you know, be the people we like to be. Maybe that's the problem. Because they're saying things like, oh, you keep that law of Moses, those Mosaic laws. The law of Moses, the laws of Moses, are actually the laws of Yahweh. In 1 Kings 2, we can read of this. 1 Kings 2 and verse 3 and 4. 1 Kings chapter 2 and starting in verse 3. Instructions. Keep the charge of Yahweh your Elohim, to walk in His ways, to keep His statutes, His commandments, His ordinances. Why was the Spirit given? And His testimonies according to what is written in the law of Moses, so you may succeed in all that you do and wherever you turn. These laws were good. They're still good. Nothing has changed. So that Yahweh may carry out His promise, which He has spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons are careful, what? Another condition? If your sons are careful of their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their being, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But we know Israel did not do all that they should have done all the time. Many times they did just the opposite. They worshipped in wrong ways. Yahweh at a point basically said, you know, I can't stand your feast. They were no longer His because they had distorted them so much. And people are keeping so-called holidays, which are not holy at all. There's nothing holy about Christmas, Easter, which we know stamps over Passover in the New Testament, at least in the King James Version. But people are following these ways and not doing all of what they should be doing. It's a crime. They're teaching lies. They're doing wrong. It's a broad way. It's not the straight and narrow way. Were the laws, Yahweh's laws, were they taught in the New Testament? We should know this by heart. 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. All Scripture is inspired by Yahweh, not by man, I might mention. All Scripture is inspired by Yahweh. Why is that even having to be said? Were there those doubting even that the Scriptures were inspired by Yahweh? That somehow they were just men's words and not Yahweh's? I think they probably experienced that. All Scripture is inspired by Yahweh and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of Elohim may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Just as Joshua was equipped for every good work, because he did Yahweh's will and set the perfect example for us. Are Yahweh's laws going to be kept in the coming kingdom? Isaiah 2 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. Are Yahweh's laws going to be kept in the coming kingdom? It says, and many peoples will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh. Now that's the right kind of attitude. Now they're starting to get it. To the house of the Elohim of Jacob. They understand this is the mighty one of Jacob, of Israel, that he may teach us concerning his ways, that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion. What will go forth from Zion? The law, his ways, his paths, the straight and narrow path. It will go forth from the from Zion, from basically New Jerusalem, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. Okay, just a final analysis. If Yahshua came to do away with the commandments of Yahweh, then there is no longer any sin, because sin is a transgression of the law, of Yahweh's law. We find that in 1 John 3:4. If there is no longer sin, then there is no need for Yahshua. Should I repeat that? If Yahshua came to do away with the commandments of Yahweh, which some are saying, then there is no longer any sin, because sin is the transgression of the law. If there is no sin if there is no longer sin, then there is no need for Yahshua. Logically, it doesn't make sense, but yet it's being promoted by those who take Paul's writings. Their own imaginations have come up with things that are not right. They feel that the law is just not doable. Can't do that. So we're not going to do that. We're going to do what we want to do because we're under grace. Because we're under grace, we can go ahead and delete Yahweh's instructions. That makes no sense. There's no logic in that. The Ten Commandments we find in Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 4. If we want to break those down, we can do so by looking at the first five and the last five. Now, I was thinking about describing this. You know, if we take the laws from the Old Testament, we pile them up here. You know, write them down and just put them here. We can take all these, and Yahshua understood the law. And he could say, okay, out of all this, do these two things, because if you do these two things, you won't be breaking any of these others. And that's serving Yahweh with all your heart and mind, strength, and treating your neighbor as the same, you know, as yourself. Matthew 22:36 through 40 says, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost command. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and prophets." What's that word, depend? It's a serious word. It means like a hinge, like hinges on a door that connect to a house. It's not separating from the house, it's part of the house. So part of this house of the laws are these two, and of the Ten Commandments, those are broken down further to two. So what about love? Can we just love? What standard is there in a feeling? I remember reading through some marriage counseling type books, and they say, you know, love is a decision. They understand that we are to love even if there is no feelings at times. Because we're expected to do certain things. The closing of Ecclesiastes says the whole duty of man is to obey Yahweh, to do His will. Throughout Scripture we find this common thread. We already read, I think, in 1 John 5:3, this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are not grievous. So when we look at these hefty pile of laws, rules, instructions for us, we break it down to those Ten Commandments we find in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 4, and Yahshua recognizes those can be, you know, condensed down to two, and they can actually be, those two can be condensed down to just love, because love is a part of those. But if you break any of these foundational commandments, that love is basically out the door. You don't love someone by hurting them. You don't love someone by breaking Yahweh's instructions. You don't love Him by breaking His instructions. Now some say Yahshua broke the law to prove that He came to do away with the law. And that is absolute nonsense. Because Scripture says that He didn't sin. You don't have to turn there. I have this written down. 1 Peter 2:21 through 22 basically says that He is sinless. There's John 7:16. There's John 15:10. He obeyed His Father's instructions. He obeyed His law. And we are to walk as He walked. 1 John 2, we might turn there. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. understanding what biblical legalism is and understanding what is being said today concerning legalism, they're two different things. And the legalism that's being spoken of today is a false accusation against those that keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the faith of Yahshua. It's just a lie. 1 John 2, starting in verse 3. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments is what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. Of course, if you're not keeping the truth, then of course that truth is not there. It's gone. Other things have come in. Distortions. Perversions. Things. Doctrines of demons. These type of things. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Yahweh has been truly perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. In what manner was that? A sinless life. Don't think that you can't keep the law. Keeping the law is doable, especially with Yahweh's Spirit, which was given for the very purpose of keeping the law. It's so silly to think that we can just turn our back to Yahweh and have, you know, faith in his son when his son obeyed his father. When his son, you know, the reason he came was to give us forgiveness of the breaking of his father's instructions. It just doesn't make any sense to now be able to turn around and break those instructions. It's not right. And the scripture doesn't teach that. The one who does not keep his commandments is a liar. What commandments? The master reiterated his father's commandments and actually helped bring them up a step. We have Yahweh who gave instructions to his people. The people sinned. Yahshua came as a sacrifice to take away the death penalty that sin brought. We find that in Romans 6:23. Sin brings death. Those that repent and accept Yahshua are immersed in his name, receiving forgiveness of their sins that they've committed. Simple. Is it not? Obedience and faith. They need to be together. Yet people resist and say the Savior came to do away with his father's law. It isn't a well-known, that he actually was fulfilling, building, or filling up the instructions, Yahweh's word, which says in Isaiah 42:21, Yahweh is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. There's no doing away with it. There's a magnification of it that has taken place. When Yahshua in Matthew 5 started talking about the law, first thing he says, don't even think that I came to do away with it. I come to bring it up to fruition, to fill up the glass, so to speak, to give the full intent. And you know this is true because he goes on to give commandments and says, look, it says, you know, to not do this. But I'm telling you, don't even start thinking about it. That's magnification of Yahweh's instructions. And that's what Yahshua did. And he was sinless. He set the right example. He set the example that Yahweh wanted him to set. Otherwise, you know, when the Pharisees said, well, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Yahshua could have just said, well, what do you mean in the law? That's done away with. He said no such thing. How ridiculous to even think that Yahshua implied such a thing. He never did. Again, he was very upset with those that distorted, took away from, deleted, covered up. And the same thing is happening today. We have teachers teaching, you can't keep the law. Don't even think about it. You can't keep it. Don't try. It's basically what they're saying. How silly. How utterly silly and stupid. Am I being too serious? It's a serious matter. It's a life and death matter. And, you know, doesn't Scripture say all things are possible with Yahweh? Don't think that you can't be obedient to Him. That's utter foolishness. Because the Spirit is given for that very purpose. And it's in more than a couple places. So we have more than two witnesses confirming the fact in this inspired book, which has Yahweh's instructions. This is basically a manual for us. So the law and legalism. Yeah, we're to have the law. Legalism is according to the Bible, how that's defined. No, we're not to have that because it covers up the law. And when we think of how legalism is being portrayed today as somehow we're trying to work our way into the kingdom, it's just a distortion because we understand we are justified in the Messiah's shed blood through His resurrection, His death and resurrection. So we have that. We have that faith in Him. But we realize that that does not negate the other things. Didn't Yahshua even tell those that were being really careful about the law? You know, you're still lacking justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have these things and not neglect the other. Nothing that Yahshua taught says anything like, you know, oh, we don't have to do those things. That's all done away with. No, the law is here. The law is here to stay. And it's written on our hearts now so that we can be in line with it. And there's a fire that stirs us up when we study the Bible, when we consider Yahweh's Word. Yahweh's Word is important. Yahshua thought so. The disciples thought so. And it's all good. So may we understand that the law is not done away with. May we understand that, as Revelation 14:12 says, the saints will have these two attributes, the commandments of Yahweh, keeping them, and also the faith of Yahshua the Messiah. May Yahweh bless.